Be seated. And from the metrical version of the psalm, we're going to turn to that psalm as we find it in the scripture version. Psalm 4, we're going to read the psalm in its entirety. And you'll recall that this psalm is a psalm that we turn to as part of our series of studies in psalms that relate to the issue of sleep and the rest of God's people. And last Lord's Day evening, we considered Psalm 3. And Psalm 3 has the flavor of a morning psalm. The psalmist is looking back. And, well, we saw verse 5, I lay down and slept, I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. It's a morning psalm. The psalmist is looking back on a good night's rest. And we come to Psalm 4, and Psalm 4 has the flavor of an evening psalm. The psalmist is getting ready to go to his bed. And so we turn to Psalm 4. It's the word of God, and will you hear it with joy? Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And that is the word of our God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, these are wonderful words. And we pray that as we hear them and as we reflect on them, that our hearts would be warmed within us and that we would delight in the realization and the sure knowledge that you alone, O God, give to your people the protection that allows us to rest securely in your care. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalmist, and the title tells us that the psalmist is David. The psalmist is getting ready for bed, and his head is buzzing. His head is buzzing with the things that he's heard during the day. He's heard people speaking. He's heard people speaking in tones of agitation. He's heard people say things that are provocative, things that are distressing, things that are distracting, things that are apt to cause agitation, the kinds of things that you and I are exposed to day in and day out, so that at the end of the day, when we come to lie down to go to sleep, our minds are buzzing. We're having those conversations in our head. We hear those voices and we're interacting with those voices, and that leaves us agitated and wound up and tense. And tonight in Psalm 4, David's having those kinds of conversations, and yet we discover that at the end of it all, he's not wound up, he's not agitated. He says, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. And the way the Hebrew is put communicates the idea that as David lies down, the sleep comes immediately. It's, no sooner has his head hit the pillow than he's off to sleep. He's out like a light. And I, for one, want to know, what is it that allows David to put his head down on the pillow with that kind of composure and go off to sleep knowing that the Lord is his protector? Yes, this is an evening psalm. And yes, last Lord's Day we read and we studied a morning psalm. But here we have an evening psalm, and maybe this psalm is part of David's nighttime routine. I don't know if you've got a nighttime routine. It's good to have a nighttime routine, and it may very well be that this psalm reflects David's nighttime routine. And if so, it's a nighttime routine that you and I do well to learn from. And David instructs us. He teaches us what we need to tell ourselves at the end of a day that's filled with all kinds of agitation and things that get us stirred up and wound up. And some things that David tells us that we should be saying to ourselves are these. In verses 2 and 3, David is saying, rest in God's truth. Okay, tell yourself that as you go to bed. I can rest in God's truth. That's verses 2 and 3. Verses 4 and 5, we hear David saying, rest in God's care. And then in verses 1 and verses 6 through 8, David is saying, rest in God's blessing. So those are three categories or three statements that allow us to get to the heart of what the Holy Spirit is teaching us in this Psalm of David. And so looking at verses 2 and 3, David is saying to himself, rest in God's truth. Because during the day, the people that David has interacted with have been provocative again. And David says in verse 2, how long is this going to go on? How long am I going to be exposed to this agitation, to this provocative speech? It's a perennial problem. We're surrounded by people who say things that are annoying, that are provocative, that are irritating, that are unsettling. And it's right for us to be able to communicate to God our frustration and our anxiety. How long is this going to go on? And of course, it's a perennial problem. David says, how long? Oh, men. And again, the Hebrew language communicates the idea that these men, these are people of note. These are influential people. These are people whose opinion carry weight. And these people who are influential, who have opinions that carry weight, these people who are movers and shakers, have agitated David by their provocative speech, by the irritating things that they are saying, by the things that are annoying, that are exasperating. And David sees them making fun of the things that he holds dear. These individuals, these influential individuals who have opinions and are not a bit shy about voicing their opinions, they have derogatory things to say about matters that are important to the psalmist. And so in verse 2, O men, these influential ones, O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? Things that David prizes, things that David considers to be valuable, things that he recognizes as profitable are being disparaged. Things that he holds dear are being maligned. They're being lampooned. They're being scoffed at. They're being made fun of. They're being mocked. And David speaks as someone who has God's righteousness. Did you notice in verse 1, David speaks of God, my righteousness. God is our righteousness. Now, it's when we read the Psalms, the psalmist frequently speaks about his righteousness. And the righteousness that the psalmist speak of is a righteousness that is given by God. You remember how Luther was so utterly exasperated by the fact that that God is a righteous God who looks for righteousness. And Luther was angry with God that God should require of him what seemed to be an unattainable standard. And then Luther made that great Reformation discovery that the righteousness that God requires is a righteousness that God gives. So that, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:31, Jesus Christ has become for us a righteousness from God. Now, here's David speaking as one who has God for his righteousness, and he's surrounded by people who despise that. He's surrounded by people who care nothing for his standards, for the righteousness that David prizes and holds dear. If we're to bring it into New Testament times, if we're to bring it into 21st century terms, David is surrounded by people who scoff at his profession of faith. They look down on him because he's a follower of God. They make fun of that. They make fun of his morals. He holds to a standard that they have no time for. His ethical behavior is something that they utterly despise. His beliefs are being mocked. That's the kind of situation that David's in. This psalm was particularly beloved by Augustine. And Augustine, you remember, moved in very sophisticated circles. Augustine had some very sophisticated friends who made fun of his profession, who made fun of his Savior, who made fun of his faith. And Augustine recognized in this psalm the words of a kindred spirit, someone who was surrounded by influential people who made fun of what he prized. But of course, as we read the psalm, our kinship is not just with Augustine, not even just with David. Our kinship is with the Lord Jesus, because Jesus knows all about what it is to be surrounded by people who despise him, who despise what he holds dear, who despise what he represents. The Savior who, as the hymn writer says, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. And you remember how the hymn writer so vividly portrays Jesus as the one who bore scorn and shame. And Jesus says to us, Matthew 5, verse 11, blessed are you. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. You see, that disparagement, those demeaning statements, that prejudice is false. It's a lie. And David recognizes that and attests to it. How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? When Christians are despised, when Jesus is disparaged, that is a lie. And David points us back to the truth of God, that God is a God who speaks words of truth to us. One commentator writing on this psalm says, the weapon against slander is to remember how God regards you and to hold on to what God has said about you. Because you see, God loves you for the sake of Jesus. God holds you in high regard because you trust in Jesus. Listen to verse 3. The psalmist says, I know the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. Now again, we look at that word, the godly, and perhaps we say, well, I'm not a particularly godly person. I try to be a godly person, but I fall short. But when the psalmist talks about godliness in this context, the psalmist is speaking of someone who is beloved by God. He's speaking about someone who's in covenant with God. And he's speaking about the person who, in the covenant relationship, we've got God as the great covenant maker and covenant keeper, and then us as the ones who are the beneficiaries of the covenant. That's who the godly are. It's those who are the beneficiaries of the covenant that God has established. And David says, know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. And when he speaks of being set apart, he's using the language that's used in Exodus when Moses is describing the plagues that fell on Egypt. And Moses explains how, as the plagues fell on the land of Egypt, plague after plague, the people of Israel were set apart. They were separated from those who suffered plague, those who came under God's judgment. And that's what David's saying here. He's saying, I'm under God's protection. You may say all kinds of things about me. You may slander me in all kinds of ways, but I am accepted by God. And we know that acceptance by God comes through Jesus Christ. We are accepted in the Beloved. We are loved for the sake of Jesus. And yes, the devil is the accuser who comes up against us and who speaks lies to us. And we respond to those lies by saying, God speaks words of life and truth to us. God accepts us for the sake of Jesus. We have God's protection. So here's David, and as he hears these agitating things, and you and I hear agitating things and provocative things day in and day out, and as we hear those things, it's important for us to remember those are lies. And we take refuge in the truth that God speaks to us. We are His prized possession, the apple of His eye. He loves us for the sake of Jesus. And the things that Jesus has taught us to prize, those things that are true, that are good, that are honorable, that are just, that Paul tells us that we're to think about, those are things that God regards highly. And the ones who don't regard them highly are liars with a distorted sense of value. And that then, that realization allows David to speak to the agitated, fretful people who are surrounding him. Because when we come to verses 4 and 5, David is saying, rest in the Lord's care. In verses 2 and 3, it's God's the Lord's truth. But in 4 and 5, it's the Lord's care. And you see, David is a king, and he's got advisors, he's got counselors, and beyond those counselors, we've got these provocative people who are agitating and saying provocative and annoying and false things, and that's very infectious. And David's advisors, we can imagine David's advisors saying, "Your Majesty, we need to push back against this. We need to put those people in their place. We need to sort them out. We need to retaliate in kind." David, it seems, had advisors. Do you remember Mr. Worf in Star Trek fans, you Trekkies? And Mr. Worf, when something comes along that's a bit out of the ordinary, that looks even slightly suspicious, his reaction is to arm the photon torpedoes. Well, David had advisors who were saying, "Your Majesty, arm the photon torpedoes." And David's saying, "Hold on a moment, calm down. You and I are surrounded by pundits, by commentators, by influencers who are telling us to arm the photon torpedoes, to retaliate in kind. They're trying to stir you up." And David speaks the language of the people of God. David says, "We can rest in the Lord's care. Calm down." It's Peter with the sword. And Jesus saying, "Put it away. Put it away. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then yes, my followers would be fighting. My kingdom's not of this world. Put the sword away." And David says to those ones who are whipped up and stirred up, "Be angry." Verse 4, "Be angry. Do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent." And then there's that word Selah. We've said, That's just pause, just think about that. Be angry. There's such a thing as righteous indignation. That's okay if you can do it, but righteous indignation, of course, very quickly sours and becomes bitter and becomes vengeful. And David says, "Be angry, do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be quiet." Just think. Think about what's going on. What are we to think about? What are we to ponder? Well, the next verse explains, verse 5, "Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord." Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. So we picture David. Here are his advisors saying, "Your Majesty, we need to strike back. We need to retaliate in kind to these provocative individuals who are speaking lies." David's saying, just be calm. Just cool it. Trust in the Lord. Put your trust in Him. Ponder. It's the idea of speaking. Speak to yourself. Talk to yourself. What do you talk? What do you say to yourself? You say, "I can trust in the Lord." And that's what we need to do, is put our trust in God. "Great is thy faithfulness." We were singing that earlier. "Great is thy faithfulness. God's mercies are renewed morning by morning." Calm down. Don't be agitated. Don't retaliate in kind. Trust in God. David speaks in verse 1 of his experience. "You've given me relief when I was in distress." He's able to look back and see how God has been good to him in the past. God has shown His care. God has shown His protection. David's saying, just trust in God. We know that God is a God who is faithful. His faithfulness is demonstrated. Paul tells us, doesn't he, in Romans 12, don't avenge yourselves. Don't avenge yourselves. Leave it to the wrath of God. It's written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." You and I are not to get whipped up. We're not to be angry. We're to trust God. We're to put our trust in the Lord, the Savior who sets an example for us that Peter describes in 1 Peter 2, where we're told that when Jesus was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Instead, he continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. You and I live in a world where there's much injustice, and yes, it's right for us to speak out about that injustice. It's right for us to recognize it, but it is very important that we put our trust in God, the one who is the judge of all the earth, so that we don't be like the ones who are not trusting in God, so that we're not like the ones who display anger, because in our day, the display of anger is a socially acceptable form of virtue signaling. It's socially acceptable to be angry. Go out there and be angry. The psalmist says no. The psalmist says no. Trust in God. Trust in God. Don't get whipped up. We remember the provocative ones who stood around the cross and they jeered Jesus and they said, "He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now." And God did deliver Jesus. God brought him through death and the grave and raised him to newness of life. And we may go through times of difficulty and hardship and trial, but we trust in God, confident that God brings us through, that we can rest in the Lord's care. And David, who has reminded us to rest in the Lord's truth, and close our ears to lies, rest in the Lord's care and not be provoked by those around us, tells us that we can rest in the Lord's blessing. And we find that in verse 1 and then again in verses 6 and 8, because he's pushing back against the voice of despair. And you hear the voice of despair. Who will show us some good? Here we are in this situation of turmoil. And remember, this is David trying to get himself ready to go to bed. He's ready. Who's going to show us any good? We're in a hopeless kind of situation. And David goes on in the end of verse 6. Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. And of course, when David says that, David is harking back to the Aaronic blessing that we find in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, words that we frequently use as a blessing. In fact, we're going to use it this evening as the benediction at the end of our service. God's people are marked out as God's people because they have God's blessing. And David says, let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. We live in this world as those who are God's possession, who enjoy God's blessing. God puts his name, his mark of ownership on his people. And we rest in the assurance that we are under God's blessing because God has marked us out as his own. We're marked, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of redemption. We are the Lord's. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, Paul says, we have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Jesus has shone upon us with all the brightness and glory of God's redeeming power. And John tells us, doesn't he, in the beginning of his gospel, the light has shone out in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And you and I, yes, we live in dark days, and yes, we live in distressful times, but you and I are those upon whom the light of God's face shines. We are those who know that the light has shone in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, nor can the darkness overcome it. And David looks back to what God has done in verse 1. He says, you've given me relief when I was in distress. And because of that, he's confident of good things to follow. And you and I look back to what God has done. He has sent his Son into the world. Jesus has triumphed over death and the grave. Jesus has paid the penalty for our sins. Jesus is risen to new life, and we are raised up in him. Jesus gives us the promised Holy Spirit so that we're assured that we're sons and daughters of the living God. Jesus speaks to us in John 15, verse 11, and says, I have said these things to you so that your joy, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. We rejoice in the Lord. And David says, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. That's verse 7. What I have is more precious than what they have. The blessings that are mine in my saving God are greater than the pretended blessings that they enjoy. And though they might make fun of what I have, those things are valuable, they are true, they are precious. And you can almost hear David yawning as he puts his head down on the pillow. In verse 8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. He's had that conversation with himself. I can rest in God's truth, the gracious truths that God speaks to me. I can rest in God's care for me, and I can rest knowing that I am someone who is under God's blessing. And so I lie down and sleep in peace because the Lord is my protector. And what a precious thing that is. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for words, inspired words, but inspired words penned by someone who has experienced frustration, exasperation, provocation, and yet who has discovered how to rest in your care. We ask that you would give to us that same grace, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to sing